from you here. Tonight, at Paris Christian Center, for our open communion service. What is open communion? Well, the service and the communion that we offer here is open to everybody. All of you, we don't ask any questions. And if you don't want to take communion, right on, Genghis Khan. I mean, that's up to you too. But we're here to, we've been doing this for many years. We believe in the power and the right of communion. And thank you for coming tonight. Does anybody need a prayer right now? If you do, stand up and we'll pray right now. All right then. Okay. Yes, Millie, go over there with her real quick if you can make it over there, sweetie. That's our friend Jen.
And I just want to make sure that God watches over them and brings them here safe, and that everything on their home here closes safely, and that God watches over them and blesses them.
Have they ever been here before?
Yeah, it's my best friend. They went to California to close their house, and everything on that went smoothly, and Michelle is very nervous about this house over here closing. And I told her, have faith in God. He's going to close it for you. So I just want, you know, for everybody to pray that God is going to answer their prayers and that they're going to get here safely, and that everything on their house is going to work out.
Millie, lead us in a prayer for those two.
Father, we just thank you right now, Father, for the closing of this house in Arkansas. For a safe trip with no incidents or accidents, we give you the glory and the praise for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. If you haven't been sick, don't be sick. Amen. If you can avoid it and say no, like Ronald and Jimmy Reagan, Nancy Reagan used to say, just say no. Amen. Is it hot, cold, or just right? Okay. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 1. We're going to cover several verses there. And praise God. I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus just, it was like he just spoke what he wanted, needed to speak to him. He said, Jesus replied and said, I tell you the truth. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Tonight, I want to share with you about being born again. My title is simply Born Again. My thought is going to be about being born again. Amen. And we're just going to touch on some things that I think are important here. I think in this verse 3, it says, I tell you the truth. Unless you were born again, you cannot see or you cannot perceive the kingdom of God. People think they know who and what you're all about that are not saved, and That's an impossibility if they're not saved. You cannot see, you cannot perceive spiritual things as far as God. And the first thing he wants you to see and perceive is to be born again. And he says to a religious leader, and it blew him away, He didn't know what he was talking about. But it's true today. Unless you're born again, you have no idea about spiritual things concerning God. Now, you might know something about some other whatever, but so in verse 4, Nicodemus the Pharisee said this. Well, what do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? You know, the first time I heard that expression, born again, in 1971, I got saved. I'd never heard that. I grew up in one of the largest cities in America. We attended church every Easter and Christmas, whether we needed to or not. And I went to the Methodist church, the Catholic church, and just a couple of churches like that, and that's how we lived. So Jesus replied and said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Okay, so when you're born again, you enter into the kingdom of God that starts on earth. Let's remember Psalm 24 and 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all those that dwell therein. Everybody. It all belongs to God. So whatever he says, the way things really are, that's the way they really are. And he is all powerful and he can back up his words. And he, in a little bit later on in this chapter, he backs everything up by showing a great love for mankind that had fallen, all fallen away. And he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to initiate the new birth. The new birth could not happen without the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus replied, I assure you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again or being born of water and the Spirit, which gives us another clue. To be born again is a spiritual experience and encounter with the Creator through the finished work of his Son on the cross and through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the word says this, let us, the Trinity, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the earth. A person who is born again has more power than the devil, and the devil shouldn't be played up too much because he's a defeated foe. In 1 John 4, the word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus says here to a teacher, to a leader of the Jews, humans, verse 6, can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. When Jesus came and met the disciples at the end of John, he just said, receive the Holy Spirit, and then he breathed on them and released, and they were born again. Born again is a spiritual experience that changes your destiny forever and gives you great hope, great aspirations that you can have a better life. I want to say to everybody in here, all of your problems, all of your bad memories, all of your bad relationships, all of your pain, all of your tears, all of your sickness and your hurts, all of your shattered dreams and financial problems, and anything that I have not mentioned have an expiration date. You can be sure of that. That stuff's coming off of you. And in Revelation 21, the word declares and backs up what I'm saying, where the Lord says, I'm taking you to a place where there's no more pain, where there's no more death, where there's no more sickness, where there's no more tears. And that is the great hope of the born-again person. But there are things God works in our life down here below and helps us and teaches us how to pray and teaches us how to reign and teaches us how to have dominion over evil and teaches us many, many things. So verse 7, don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. I was mentioning this the other day. I was thinking about it myself. When a big old rain came up and Darby Bybee, he didn't have any idea about it. It just came up. Let me tell you something. I'd hate to be a weatherman because, my God, I mean, they look like schmucks. Now, that's a big city word, but it means stupid, okay? And I don't mind when they miss their call, when it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But, man, when they don't even see it coming, why don't they see it coming? Because the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, you cannot explain how people are born again or born of the Spirit. Think about that. And don't be mad at the weathermen. They're doing the best they can. I would much rather be a prophet and a pastor and a teacher than a weatherman. I got more going for me. Verse 9, Nicodemus says, how are these things possible? Nicodemus asks. And Jesus replies, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. I can remember having a person in my life many years ago. Well, if I've seen a healing, well, God graced him and let him see several healings in his own family, healings, unexplainable healing. He still didn't serve God. See, because seeing something isn't going to get you to believe. Hearing the word of God spoken to you, if that doesn't get you saved, nothing can. That's the way the word of God and God's plan works. Go and preach to all the nations. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't believe, he's damned. He's condemned already. Verse 12, but if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man, Jesus, came down from heaven. And as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the desert, the bronze snake, on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on a cross so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Jesus had to die in the world of the Spirit, and there are many things I don't know about the world of the Spirit, but I can tell you this. Jesus had to die. He came as a man, and he came as the Son of God. He never sinned on earth, and he had to become a sacrifice so that you and I could be born again, so we could have eternal life, so we could have an eternal home, an eternal family. And that's why churches should meet. That's why we are very interdenominational here. We're not interested in what denomination you have come from or you may still be in. We believe in all of them. We don't have anything against any one of them. We just don't. But whatever you, I've preached in Catholic churches. I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic church when I was a kid. They thought I was a little too much for there. We sent Evan to the academy for 4 years, and we would have sent him for the rest of them. That was up to him. I preached in Methodist churches, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, Baptist, Free Will Baptist. We do not have anything to say against any of them. And if you have a loved one that's going to another church and they're happy there, let's leave them there. Let's let them stay there, because nobody has it all. The eye cannot say to the ear, I don't need you. See, we need one another. And the problem is there's been so much turmoil and trouble all over the world as far as churches that people don't know what to think. And I believe the leaders have to start and say, hey, we're going to be part of bringing people together, not making people feel bad about any other church. And it is such a freeing experience for a church leader to just say, that's great. Go there. Come visit us if you want to. There's some people that go to other churches, and from time to time they like to come to our church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we're all about that. And just tell your people that's in other churches, we love them, and be where you're happy. I'm going to take some bold moves here and just say to you now, you know what? If people's happy without Jesus, why would you turn to Jesus if you're totally happy with your life? If you want to live immoral, if you want to cross lines as far as homosexuality, if you want to live in sin, drug use, addiction, and you're happy in it, right on, Genghis Khan. I don't know what to tell you. If you're happy with it, you're happy with it. See, I'm looking for the folks like I was that are no longer happy being addicted, being lost, being broken. But on the contrary, if people's happy, how are you gonna tell somebody chocolate sundaes don't taste good? I'm not even supposed to eat them. I like them. I eat them all the time. So if people are just genuinely happy, leave those people alone. Jesus said this, I'm going to send you all out. When you get into a city, if they don't receive you, take the sandals off your feet and shake the dust off and go on to the next city. See, Jesus is looking for people that are unhappy with their life, people that want more, people that want to be forgiven, people that want to be accepted, people that want to be embraced, people that want to know about the spirit world, and they want to know the truth about it. I knew all the bad about the spirit world. I believed that there was a devil, and I had made some terrible commitments to him I had to break. But my generation, largely, we didn't know what we were talking about. We were just a bunch of dummies, snorting mescaline, doing big fat doobies, and being dumb. And at the age of 19, I'd had all of that I wanted. And I wanted to know, am I on the right track with God? And the Lord helped me and got me on that track. And Communion is about maintaining your walk with God. It's about when Christians sin, because see, Christians sin. Christians make mistakes, and we need to be maintained. You know, the difference between a lost person and a Christian person is the lost person does not have anybody to process his misdeeds, but the believer does. And that's what we will be doing here in just a few moments. He became our high priest. Our Savior is our high priest. And he says what he means, and he means what he says, and he knows what he's doing. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 there. If you've got a Bible, that's a good thing. I'd get that thing and start carrying around. And this is what the word says. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. You can't buy it. It can't be bought. So none of us can boast about it. Well, I bought three of them. I bought three salvation. No. No, you can't buy it. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. See, that's what it's all about. It was an intense love of God. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life. So, once again, salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. You know, Jesus said, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of God. He said on judgment day, people say, well, look, I did this. I did that. And he's going to say to many, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. Because see, it's not about what you did. It's about what he did. It's about, do you know Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him? That's a fair and honest question. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so no one of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. Some things that seem good really aren't that good. But when you become born again, God will give you plenty of good things to do. And as we say here, we are saved to serve here. We're saved to do something besides come to church. We're saved to let Christ have our life. I wouldn't trade my walk with Jesus for anything. And I was able to do, and I am able to do things I never thought I could do. And he made me bigger than I really am. And he's more than enough for me this morning. I told Millie, I said, honey, let's just sit here. We have two chairs. They faced east, and let's just watch the sun come up. We had our Bible study, and we are in the food ministry, and we love it. The last place I'd like to turn tonight is John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And my hope tonight is I might say something that will help you with the idea of being born again. I never heard that expression. I grew up in Chicago. But the day that I heard that I needed to be born again, it pierced me. I thought, this is what I've been missing all the dope, all the drugs, sex, and rock and roll, none of that is ever going to. There's something missing inside of me. So let's start at the beginning. And it says here, and this is talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Talking about Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. When you get a chance, read Genesis chapter 1 yourself. Let us. God said, let us. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, create God in our image after our likeness. And let man have dominion. Not any angel. Man. Mankind that I made. I fully intend to restore mankind. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Verse 4. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. Jesus told us when he was here, I'm the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. Another translation said the word they wouldn't receive him. They just wouldn't receive him. He came, verse 11, to his own people, and even they rejected him. But I love this here. But to all who believed him and accepted him. So what's important is this claim about who Jesus is, that you believe him and that you accept him. Because everybody who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. And when you pray, the best prayer that you can pray is to call him Father. Jesus said, now look, I'm going to go away, and when I do, don't be praying to me no more. Pray to the Creator. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all of those who dwell therein. Pray to the Father. And the stellar, most important outline prayer is the Lord's Prayer, our Father. See, not Lord, great God. See, you either wake up in the morning and you're a son or a daughter of God, or you're not. And if you're not, that's going to become very important in the next life, Judgment Day. He said, I want to be called Father. And in the New Testament, I believe in the book of Hebrews, it talks about him being called Abba, Father, which is a term of endearment like dad or daddy. My children don't call me Brother Angelo. They call me Dad. They call me Brother Angelo, I'd have to slap them. I'm their dad. I'm their father. I want them to be proud of me, and I want to be proud of them. And I love them, and they love me. And to all who believed him and believed on him and accepted him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. Verse 13 says this, they are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You got to be born again. You have got to be if you want to have a future in the next life. And so the question tonight is, are you born again? Have you had that experience with God? Are you a child of God? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say it with me if you know it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And everyone said amen. So I'm keeping a journal. Any of these messages that you want, if you'll let me know, I will give you my outline. And they're very simple to read and easy. They make good devotions. Just let me know and I'll get you one or all of them, whatever. But anyway, we're going to take communion now, open communion. And everybody, from our hearts to yours, first of all, thank you for letting me preach to you tonight. God bless you and thank you. But we're going to begin our communion service, and we're going to do it according to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Word says, let a person examine themselves and then take communion. And what are we supposed to be looking for? Is there sin that you haven't talked about with the Lord God? If there is, tell him about it. Tell him I'm addicted to this. I'm wrong about some things. There's some people I need to say I'm sorry. Come to the altar or make yourself an altar, and then we'll take it from there. But it always starts with you examining your heart. Examine your heart. Are you ready to take communion?